Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's straightforward. He has no experience of English football. He's come from Japan.
He's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
So I'm not one of the bottle. I think I'm a special one.
I have to talk about facts, which I think is important.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Phoenix Five. Unfortunately, we missed last week with the bank holiday weekend, but don't you worry, we've got a cracking episode coming up for you. I'm joined again by my co-host, Mr. David Holland. How are you, Dave? Good weekend for you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. It goes quick, as all bank holidays do. Back to work today. It was a bit of a stinker. It's always hard. It's like a Monday, but with a bank holiday thrown on top, it's... Yeah, I'm sure everyone's feeling the same going back today. But back into the swing of it and back on the podcast for a good show today.
But generally, it was a good weekend for sport all round. I know you're not a wrestling fan. I was away with the family. But for those who do listen who are wrestling fans, you had AEW at Wembley Stadium selling out 82,000. You had the boxing on the weekend with Usyk. You had UFC on. You had Premier League games on. I mean, it was an action-packed weekend for sport. I didn't get to see as much as I would liked. As I'm getting older with two kids, or for three kids, it gets a bit more difficult. But let's crack on with this week. How'd your weekend go with the sport? What happened?
It was a tough watch. The first half was didn't really get going for me. The formations are concerned, especially at the back. I don't know what's going on with Gabriel. They're playing Partey at right back, and what he was doing, he was drifting to centre midfield. Saka paid a pass back to him, thinking that he was there, and he wasn't. And Fulham scored within 1 minute. When he went back to a back four in the second half, Arsenal were the Arsenal of last season. They're playing Man United this week in the next game, and he has to start with a back four. I would start White at right back, Gabriel, Saliba, Zinchenko, and stop dicking around with the formation. He's trying something, but no one can figure out what he's trying to do. He's trying to be too clever for me. It's not working out.
He's changing.
Partey's not a right back.
Yeah, I watched the highlights. I struggle with that and with Arteta, and I just thought, well, you had a winning formula last season. You strengthened the squad. You've got Ryerson, who's arguably, you know, a better player than you had last season. I know Jarryn Timber got injured, which is a bit of a blow, but Ben White can fit at right back, as we've seen last season anyway. It's a strange one that you try to mix and match it. At the moment, you're getting away with it to a point. I thought going in it a couple of weeks ago, I thought, well, when we got Arsenal, we're going to get absolutely smashed, battered. And obviously not in the Forest, and he battered us, so it's conceivable could happen. But you don't look in the greatest of forms, and he looks a bit shaky, as you said. So it's going to be a great contest now, because I think there'll definitely be goals in the game, if anything else. I think both defences are rickety. We've got a goalkeeper that falls on his arse when someone comes close to him. We've got no Mason Mount's out. That's a big blow for United. You know what a legend that man's going to be. Fucking shitbox. Varane's out injured now. Shaw's out injured. So it's going to be a great weekend of... I think it's going to be a game of the weekend this weekend, definitely. Not much else. VAR was quite quiet this weekend, was it? With the sending-offs and the normal hooray, hurrah of VAR.
Yeah, talk to me about Van Dijk. Your initial thoughts when he makes that tackle. For me, that's not a sending-off. Now, obviously, you go back and you see it. I can see what you mean. He was behind the player, which makes it... Years gone by, he gets the ball there. That's a good tackle for me. The only thing is that he was behind the player, and he's come across him. But you know, you can get the ball now. But if you get the man, it's a foul. I don't like that rule. I'm sorry. It was when we were growing up. It was always if you get the ball, that's it. Even if you got the faintest of touches, you got the ball. Yeah. I know there's certain tackles where you can go for the ball and go for the man, and it's a nasty tackle. That for me wasn't. I know within the rules of the game, it's now classed as a foul, and it's the last man, and he's sending off. But for me, in the era that we cover, that's not a sending off. That's a good tackle.
I completely agree. I think that's the thing. Last season, you started getting the tackles back in the game for the first time in a long time, where you felt it was getting a little bit more to the tackling players' advantage. And then you see that and you're thinking, oh, that has been scrapped again this season. Because you're right, I don't think it was a penalty. I think he got the ball, and that's what football was about. If you get the faintness of touches, obviously, as you said, if you come through and you get the ball and you completely break a man's leg, or you come through completely, that's a different situation. But I always think, I don't know why it's always the attacker that gets the benefit of hindsight as opposed to being the defender. Because really and truthfully, it's not, for me, they're not Liverpool anyway, but I thought it was harsh. I think they'll appeal it. But I did think Trent Alexander deserved the red earlier on in the game. I thought he threw an
elbow, didn't he?
Yeah. And so that's the inconsistency if you've got VAR. How are you missing that, which is a blatant red card, and then something's a bit dubious, then you're going, well, that we'll give that one a red card. It's almost like they look at a decision and it influences what they do later on in the game, because they're not going to send off two players in that situation almost. So it's disappointing from that point of view. Yeah, watch the film and she can go to bed. Yeah, it'll be 9 o'clock, so that's fine. She brushed her teeth and it's ready. Yeah, so that's where I stand with that. Anything else to talk about? Chelsea's performance on the weekend, any thoughts on them?
Well, they played Luton. although Sterling looked good, he looked like he was coming into a bit of form, which is good for Chelsea fans. It was his first goal was very nice. Like jinked through the box and placed it bottom corner. Very, very good. But they're expected to beat Luton at home.
Yeah.
So you can't get too carried away as of yet.
But he's capable of that, isn't he, Sterling? We know that he's capable of having performances like that. It's just, I think the consistency of Chelsea just hasn't been there. But again, the consistency of Chelsea in general hasn't been there. So it makes it a difficult one. What about West Ham?
I love the mystic Mickey, because the minute you say something, it goes to shit. West Ham looked bloody good.
I know.
No one was expecting them to beat Brighton the way they did. They looked fantastic.
No way.
And you know what? Antonio as well. He's come alive again. It's almost like he does that, doesn't he? He has a fantastic season. He falls away a bit, and then he has it in spells. He's only three games in, so I'm not going to say he's having a fantastic. But he took his goals very, very well.
Yeah.
And he looked very good. James Ward-Prowse, I can't believe other teams didn't go for him. I think he's only a couple of free kicks behind David Beckham's record.
Yeah.
He takes a very good set piece. especially for a team like West Ham, where that's the sort of attribute you need. They've had good seasons where they've, you know, been in the top eight or whatever else, but 9 times out of 10, they're in a dogfight or, you know, a mid-table. They're the sort of things that you need. I think he's a fantastic signing. I can't believe other clubs weren't in for him. It seemed to me that West Ham got him very easy. 30 million as well in this market is a steal.
Yep.
They look like they've got a good balance now. Everyone thought with Rice going, they were doomed. But they've seemed to, for me, they spent their money very well on the players they've got so far. So far, so good for David Moyes.
Scottish cousins, shall we? Up north. Rangers on the weekend. They got their fantastic 2-0 win away to Ross County, while Celtic only stuttered to a draw. So maybe they better hold that trophy cabinet aloft and just wait. They haven't won it yet, it seems. Celtic are trying to do something to keep their title challenge open. And also on the weekend, you've got the Rangers-Celtic derby, or the Old Firm derby, should we say, at midday. Yeah. Any thoughts on that? Will you be watching?
Well, I went and saw my dad yesterday.
Oh, good.
My mum and dad. So it was good to see him. And he's fucking raging. He's not happy with Brendan Rodgers. You know, it's not as if they, you know, they win it every single year. They do the treble, the quadruple, you know, 9 times out of 10. They lose. They have a bit of a poor start, and it's fucking, they're on his back. I mean, I'm not saying all Celtic fans are. My dad's very animated about Celtic, as you know. But yeah, he's not happy with Brendan Rodgers at the moment. I don't think it's all Brendan Rodgers' fault. Saudi Arabia have come in and stripped a few players from their squad. I don't know all their signings. I've got to admit, I've not looked into it. But I still think they'll come good. He's just finding his feet again. But there's a little bit of a bit of taste in their mouth for how Brendan Rodgers left them. So I don't think they've completely got over that. If he goes in there and starts winning trophies again and stuff like that, football fans are fickle, and it, you know, that goes away. But he's come in. If they've had three or four games, maybe. And it's not the greatest of starts, so they're on his back.
Well, that's mental, isn't it? I think Rodgers is a great manager. I think he's gone to Celtic. It's never great going back, is it? That's one of the things you always say. So fans, obviously, as you said, he left the last time. But I think they'll win the league quite easy. I think you'll piss two or three trophies up there. I don't think there's much doubt about that. And if you're not doing that, you have to ask questions. But it would be nice for St Mirren to give them a title race as opposed to Celtic this season. But I don't see that happening. Or Motherwell, you know. For Mystic Mickey, what have you got for me?
Right. So this week, I've got, the question is, who will have the better season in Mystic Mickey's mind? Kai Havertz, Mudrick, or Antony?
That's a good. Okay. Antony, I don't know about. I've defended that boy on social media and to group chats and stuff for a while now. I think the fees struggled for him, and I think that's unfair because he's not a £100 million player. He's a £40 million player. Although the game against the Forest game, he was slightly better, but it's Forest. It's hard to know. Mudrick, I'm not. Depends on Chelsea. I one of my things, them winning the league, it's not looking so rosy in that field at the moment. If they are going to win it, he's going to have an outstanding season. I'm going to go with the first pick, I think. Antony. Who's the first pick, sorry?
Havertz.
I think Havertz. I think he'll surprise people. I don't think he'll do it until late, midway through the season. I think Arteta needs to find the system that fits him. If he stays injury-free, I think come December, January time, I think he'll fly second half the season. So I'm going with Havertz as having the outstanding player out of the three of them. That's my pick, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, well, straight after the show, as always, I will put the poll to Twitter. We didn't get many votes from last week, but not one of them said Moyes would be sacked first, and that's looking likely. So, I mean, they've gone against you on everyone you've done. I know we've already done a few, but I would definitely put the vote out, and I will let you know next week if anyone agrees with you. I doubt they will, because you've never got anything right.
Right, so let's get down to it. So this week, guys, we're going to be discussing the Premier League goal-scoring record, obviously currently held by Alan Shearer. We want to look at the Kane-Rooney-Shearer effect. Who was the most complete striker? Who is the better striker? And who would you choose out of the three players we've mentioned? As of the recent acquired England scoring record by Kane is holding Rooney's total far fewer games. So Kane's overtaken Rooney in far fewer games for England. Rooney scored 208 goals in 491 appearances, including 183 in 393 for United. At the time, for one club, since beaten by Sergio Aguero, who beat 184 for Man City, and then Kane's Spurs tally. Kane's played only 315 games since his debut up until now, all for Spurs except for three scoreless early appearances on loan at Norwich. Rooney, of course, won five league titles for United, an achievement Kane has not been able to match. Might be able to win something in Munich. Though he doesn't have three Golden Boot awards in 2015, 16, 16, 17 and 2021, Kane has won seven Player of the Month awards to Rooney's five. But Rooney was the Premier League's Player of the Season for 2009-2010. Then you bring Alan Shearer into the fact. Kane will need at least two more fit and prolific Premier League seasons to overtake Shearer. But he is on course to do so given an impressive scoring rate. Shearer scored 260 goals in 441 appearances for Blackburn and Newcastle, a ratio of 0.59 goals per game. Kane has a superior scoring rate of 0.66 goals per game, meaning he would have been on track to match Shearer's record in his 395th game if he stayed, which would have been either late 24-25 in that period. Shearer insisted he is cool with Kane eventually breaking his record, telling the Premier League website in February when Kane reached 200 goals, "I know how much he wants it. He's told me, which is fine because I want exactly the same. Bullshit, I'm calling him that straight away. If he stays fit and in the country or comes back after his Bayern Munich spell, he has a good chance of doing that still." Shearer also won three Golden Boots in consecutive seasons between 94 and 95, 95, 96. That year, he also won the league title with Blackburn and the Player of the Season award, which he was named Player of the Month on four occasions in his career. If we look at the analyze the scoring, Kane holds the record of the accolades of scoring against all 32 opponents he has faced in the Premier League career, which is pretty impressive. Shearer and Rooney scored against more opponents, but also faced more. Shearer played against 39 teams and scored against all but Watford and Birmingham in two and five appearances, respectively, while Rooney netted against 36 of 40 opponents in his Premier League career. He did not score in six games against United, but did so five times in 18 games for them against Everton, with Derby, Blackpool and Huddersfield keeping them at bay in two games each. Kane's best tally against one opponent is 18 in 16 games against none other than Leicester City, with 15 in 16 against Everton and 14 in 17 against the North London derbies against Arsenal. He has double figures also against Southampton, West Ham and Palace. Rooney scored 15 goals against Newcastle and hit double figures against seven different opponents. Shearer did so against 12 teams, including 20 in 19 games against Leeds. Dave, a lot of stats there, a lot of numbers. I want to just get that out of the way early because you know I like the stats and I like to look at figures and I'm a big fan of those things. Instinctively, out of those three, who would be your number one pick, first of all?
Alan Shearer, and purely for the nostalgia. He was the number one striker when we were kids. He was the number one striker with us growing up. He was fantastic in the years we were at school. So instinctively, I go for Alan Shearer. But I'm an adult now, and we you see football differently when you grow up. So if you put that question to me just off the top of the bat without looking into it, I'd instinctively go Alan Shearer, but that's purely a nostalgia thing. But the better footballer for me, the better player is Wayne Rooney. He brings more to the game. He does more for the team. Now, I'm not saying that goals, because goals obviously win you games, but I feel that if Wayne Rooney played solely up front and didn't do all the other things he had to do for teams, and also what he done for Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo doesn't score as many goals as he does if Rooney doesn't do the dog work in that team at that time. I feel that if Rooney was solely up front, Rooney scores a lot more goals. He had a better touch than the three players, but the two other two players we're talking about. And for me, he is the better all round player.
He played in
multiple different roles. I know, and you know, some of the things that you see him do as well. Some of the goals that he scored as well. I'm not like Alan Shearer scored numerous goals, not a problem. Same as Harry Kane, fox in the box sort of stuff. I know Kane used to come deep, but
Alan Shearer was a proper 90s number nine, you know, where crosses into the box, fantastic in the air. The game was played differently in the Rooney Kane era, and they adapted and they played the game that way, and they scored many goals that way. So I love Alan Shearer purely because he was the number one striker when we were kids. Fantastic. But for me, Wayne Rooney is the better footballer, all-round footballer. He scored better goals. He was a better team player. You know, he could drop into midfield. You even see him running back and defending, being the last defender in certain games when people were clean through. And all of a sudden, Wayne Rooney comes in and slide tackles. You don't see that from Shearer. Kane drops deep, but not that deep. I'm not ruling out Harry Kane at all. Harry Kane's fantastic. All three of them are. For me, Alan Shearer as a child, number one, without a doubt. Football's moved on since then. I would obviously take an Alan Shearer up front in any era because that man scores goals. He's fantastic. But as a actual footballer, for me, it's Wayne Rooney.
I think it's tough. I mean, you've summed it up nicely there. I mean, I think it's a difficult one, almost. I think Rooney had that in his locker, but Rooney did a lot of donkey work, as you said. I think I've never seen a striker, and I might be corrected here, whose first touch went from being... You don't normally lose your first touch, right? Bergkamp, you watch the old players now, right? And they're playing these games. First touch is still incredible. Rooney's one of the rare players that I've seen whose first touch went from being world-class to a pub player in these last 4 or 5 years of his career. And I kid you not, United, every touch was like a second touch. You're not, it's hard for United.
Sorry, mate. Do you think that's to do? I'm not saying your lifestyle does anything for your touch, but his lifestyle wasn't what it should be, should it? Do you think anything that had anything to do with it? His passion for it towards the end of his career. I mean, his public life was very public, wasn't it? It was he was up to.
Maybe that has something to do with it, but I don't ever, with first touches, man, I just don't think you lose that. That's one thing, you lose your speed, you can lose your ability to see a pass maybe because your brain slows down a bit, the game changes. But I just felt the last 5 years, and definitely the last 3 years of his United career, maybe he lost a bit of enthusiasm, but he lost a lot. Like the way he went from being elite to pretty poor in a United shirt was pretty quick. I think in 10 years' time, when it comes back to United fans and Rooney, because there's quite a love-hate relationship with Rooney. Obviously, he's the top goal scorer at the club and was with England for a while, but I don't think he was heralded as the great player that I think the stats are put up against him purely because of the relationship with him and Fergie towards the end, the way he left the club or wanting to leave the club. So on a personal level, I can see why there's some dispute there.
I think that Wayne Rooney might be coming off for Manchester United. A little knock in the first half. Now there is Rooney! Oh, my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic from Wayne Rooney! It's not often I'm speechless. But when you pay 28 million for a special talent, this is what you get. This is unbelievable. Shea Gibbons that side. Look. And he can't get anywhere near him. That's just stunning. Absolutely stunning. Take a bow, son. When your team's struggling...
I think when you look at it... Let's put it this way. Harry Kane, right? What, is he 30? Just turned 30? Leaving Spurs. One club went in for him. Bayern Munich. Wayne Rooney at 30, if he wanted to go, everyone wanted Wayne Rooney throughout his career. Real Madrid came in for him at one stage. I know Man City tried to sign him. Chelsea and under Jose tried to sign him. Harry Kane hasn't been linked away from Spurs, really, apart from now when he went to move. I know he was linked to City earlier on, but that was never really pushed through. It felt like if City wanted him, they would have got him. But, you know, it wasn't about fees. They didn't really push through. But in terms of players actual enjoying, I enjoy watching Rooney more than any of the other three. Other two, sorry, 100%. I think in his early career, it was something about, he was like so exciting to watch. and you didn't know what you was going to get with Rooney. As you said, running back 70 yards to chase a ball and make a tackle at the end of his own box, and then run 30, 40 yards or ping a 90-yard pass across the pitch. As a complete player, I think Rooney definitely edges it for me. Goal-wise, again, you're right. When you think of Shearer scored a lot of goals, absolutely. But when you think of the top 10 Premier League goals, I don't think you get looking at one that Harry Kane or Shearer get in for. Powerful, edge of the box, you know, 110 miles an hour, thunderbolts into the top corners, a Shearer all day long. A header inside the box, you know, from across, and a Shearer all day long. Harry Kane the same. I can't remember a Harry Kane. If you said to me, right, top three Harry Kane goals, obviously I'm not a Spurs fan, so I'm sure there will be ones that they'll correct me on this. But I can't think. I think of Sergio Aguero, I can think of goals he scored. Les Ferdinand, even, I can think of some of the goals he scored. I just don't think Harry Kane, I can't remember a goal you think, oh, do you remember that goal Kane scored? It was fucking brilliant. He did this, beat two men, top corner, overhead kicks. There wasn't a variety in his goals. But saying that, in terms of stats of goal-to-game ratio, in a Spurs team, that people may laugh about to a point, but you've got to bear in mind, under Harry Redknapp at Spurs, with Modric there, with Eriksen there, he always had a supporting player that really, you know, laid up goal after goal after goal for him. And Rooney had that United as well. Shearer, I think, probably played in the worst team in that period. If you look at Newcastle team, you had the peak team with Ginola and that era. But then after that, when it started to fade down a bit, he had some shite in that Newcastle team to play with. It was like serving him up.
I think that's a good point what you've made there about the teams that they've played in. Obviously, Man United, you can't compare because Rooney played in some fantastic teams. But I know you're saying that Newcastle, as the teams went on, Shearer played with worse players, but Tottenham were never a great side, were they? You had your odd player that played with them, your Modric's there for a little while. Gareth Bale was there a little while for Kane. But I think that's very similar in the sides that they played. They both weren't like fantastic. I would edge to say that Shearer played in a better Newcastle team than Harry Kane. But again, that could be nostalgia.
I disagree. The Spurs team that he had from Harry Redknapp all the way to Pochettino, it's only since Poch went.
Yeah, it's very hard because it's different eras. I suppose I'm looking at it from a nostalgia sort of point of view.
Look at Newcastle.
Les Ferdinand's and all this other stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
You get a little bit excited.
In that Keegan spell, I'll give it to you. It was goals in that Keegan era, which we know. Once the era died out, you're looking at people like, you know, Gavilan, Kieran Dyer, Gary. I'm not saying Gary Speed's not a great player. Don't get me wrong. Yes, he is. Tamari Kitzbaya. Partnering up front with Duncan Ferguson. Like Duncan Ferguson, nothing against him, but again, it's not a great team to kind of build your team around, isn't it? Then you go on a little bit later and you're looking at I'm trying to think of other players they might have had in the team. I can't even think. Think of midfielders in Newcastle. I'm trying to think. Carl Court was there at one stage with him up front. Sholi Anmiobi, Kevin Gallagher signed there. Lauren Chevalier. Christian Bazidas, I think, is another one, midfielder.
Robert would have been there as well, wouldn't he? Lauren Robert.
Yeah, Lauren Loire, Stephen Glass. Like, these are realistically, mate, you know, Rob Lee's a great player in terms of gets a job done. You know what you're going to get, Mr. Dependable almost. But Harry Kane, Modric, Eriksen, Son, who's been fantastic in the Premier League era,
yeah.
Gareth Bale in and out. He had consistent good supporting cast with him in the middle of the park to supply him. Dele Alli was on fire for that period at Spurs. I can't say that outside of that era, as I said, with that 3 years under Keegan, where it was goals. I mean, he played with some absolute shite and he still managed to score 20 odd goals a season consistently. And
football was played differently though. Sorry to cut you off.
Please do.
It was wingers, crossing in the box. When Harry Kane came on the scene, football was played slightly differently then. It was free up front, you know, these false wingers. You very rarely get crosses into the box these days, and like you did then. So Shearer had plenty of chances to take because, I mean, he scored a lot of headers. That's because the ball was getting fired. Every time you got down to any type of corner, it was whipping the ball in. There's nothing to say there that if
the football was played that way now, that Harry Kane wouldn't score more goals because he's getting more supply into the box. There's nothing to say he can't header him in like Shearer did.
But would you argue, though, as we spoke about this before, that defending was better? You're going against harder defenders back in the era under Shearer. Your Sol Campbell, yes. Tony Adams, your John Terry's at the back end of it. You know, your Vinicius and Rio Ferdinand's. We could go on, really, with centre-backs at that period. And
let me just throw in there, you could actually tackle him.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we're asking that question, out of all three of them, Shearer was up against the harder defenders for me. And it's not to say, I mean, he was up against better defenders. Is it questionable? Because you could rattle off good defender, but he's playing an era where you could tackle. The art of tackling, as we've spoken about many a time before, is gone out of the game. So if we're doing a poll on a better defender, Shearer played against better defenders.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He definitely played against the better defenders. So, okay, other round of play. If you're looking at someone to score you a goal, right? It's the 92nd minute. You've got, you know, you're 1-0 down, or you're losing 2-1, or whatever it be, or it's 0-0, and you're going into the final 30 seconds, a minute of a game, and the chance comes. Out of those three, who would you want that chance to go to?
Okay, I can do this in order. Like, so. See, my three but changed depending on the question, because they're that good that I can swap this around. Now, I said earlier when you asked me the question, I thought Rooney was the better player. He's the one that had more about him. I think he was naturally born with this talent. So, I mean, I don't know the other guys, so I can't say what they were born with or what they able. But his natural talent shone through more than the rest. But if I'm picking a top three for someone that I need a goal for, I am putting Rooney third in that list. If we're up against it and need a goal, I'm torn between Shearer and Kane. But I'm going to go Harry Kane on that one.
I'm going to go Rooney all day long. All day long.
Really?
Oh, you need someone to get you a goal. You need for Harry Kane or Shearer to get that. Maybe Shearer less. I'm putting Kane last. If you need someone that's going to create a bit of magic out of the three of them, there's one player that's going to create some magic, and it'll be Rooney, because he could, in his peak, he could shoot from outside the box, he could beat a man, he could do everything at his peak, and he would have the gumption to go, right, we need a goal, pick myself up, and let's run at a defence and create something special. I wouldn't say Kane's ever done that, and again, I know there was the Inter Milan game that they kind of turned it round, but I can't remember the stats on that one. Alan Shearer, I don't remember. I know he would win games, absolutely, but I think he needed to be supplied for. He wasn't going to take the ball from the halfway line, run against three men and score a goal. If you asked me about a penalty in that time, I would say Shearer would be number one. But just you need a goal. I think Rooney brings that to the table.
I'm more thinking that I'm in the era of the 90s. I'm more thinking that I took your question as needing a goal. We're pumping this into the box. Who's getting on the end of it? Because that's the way it was played, wasn't it? We're in the last minute. What did the goal? You get the goalkeeper, he gets hold of it and he pumps it straight into the box. Who's jumping on the end of that? For me, it's not Wayne Rooney. I totally agree that a bit of magic, yes, was exactly what I said about natural talent. Yes, if you want someone to seize the moment and pull something out of nowhere, absolutely you're going to Wayne Rooney. If you're pumping it into the box to try and take it to extra time or seal a winner to get through to the next round of a cup, or very much like what Man United done in the final of the Champions League in 99. They swung it in there. They had four strikers on the pitch at the time, you know, going for broke. It's either Kane or Shearer. I'm gonna say Harry Kane for that one. I'm gonna pull him into that and say that, you know, he, especially in the Spurs team where he was the best player. He was the man that get your goal. I think you pump that in there. Harry Kane gets a toe on the end of that, gets you where you want to be with that. Really, Shearer very much the same. For me, a better header of the ball than Harry Kane. If you're going to stick it on someone's bonce, it's Alan Shearer's for me.
So yeah, that was where. That's how I took your question when you threw it to me. So if I'm pumping it in the box, I want it to go to them too.
Need a goal, and who are you going with? Shearer, if you need a goal, or Kane? Sorry,
I'm gonna go for Kane.
Okay, well, I'm going for Rooney on that one.
Davis, just one additional minute. Good ball from Davis into Kane, who will pop it out to Pedro Porro. He just knew that he would be there. Three in the middle, including Harry Kane. Brilliant header. Spurs royalty opens the scoring here. Goal 209 in the Premier League. Now the outright second ball top feet, scorer.
Who's the technically better player out of the three of them? This is ball your class.
For me, all day long, it's Rooney. I've said that there. His talent was natural. Talent was natural for me. Some of the goals he scored. I mean, you've only got to go to the Man United v City one where he's done an overhead kick. I know he shinned it ever so slightly, but who cares? It was a fantastic goal, and he scored many goals, similar goals like that, shooting outside the box. But like I say, not only I know we're talking about goals here, but again, I know I said it earlier. Even Cristiano Ronaldo would come out and say that he doesn't score as many goals as he does for United without Rooney there.
Yeah,
Rooney does all the running, and Rooney still scored a lot of goals that season as well. When I think, did he get off the top of my head with Ronaldo? Did he get 42 in a season or 46 or something?
Yeah, madness.
Rooney done a lot of that work. I know, and Tevez, they were a front three, which was amazing. So he's not a selfish player. Yeah, naturally talented out of three, without doubt, is Rooney. I would then go Kane. Then I would go Shearer. Shearer's an out-and-out goal scorer, no doubt. But I don't remember a lot what he done with the ball other than put it in the back of the net, which is what you want from a number nine striker. Not a problem with that. I can't remember him doing anything else other than scoring goals, which is fine. There's no criticism there. That's what he's meant to do. Harry Kane, again, we spoke about that. He drops deep. He's assisted in a few goals. So yeah, for me, it's Rooney, Kane, Shearer with that question.
Okay, header or the ball? This is the clear one. It is Big Al. Big Al and Shearer. Both of us, we both agree. If you're looking at someone, as you said, for a ball in the box, you want someone's not at the end of it, it's going to be Alan Shearer's.
And the Obi's down with header. Shearer! What do they say? Cometh the hour, cometh the man. What a goal! Well, it was going to take something special to beat this Everton side. And believe me, this is special.
Bit more of a difficult one now, penalties. If you've got a penalty and you've got to choose one of those strikers to take it for you, it's the 92nd minute, it's the Champions League final, pressure's on. Who are you choosing?
I am choosing Alan Shearer. The man puts his boot through it. Off the top of my head, I don't think he missed many. Was it just one he missed? I don't know how I know that. That guy could be very wrong. I thought he only missed one in his career. I could be wrong.
Oh, Shearer?
Yeah.
10.
You missed 10 penalties?
Yeah.
Oh, well, fair enough. I got that one completely wrong. Edit that out.
Let me give you the record. I'll give you the record. Three players have missed at least 10 penalties in the Premier League. And I'll give you the three. Alan Shearer, Wayne Rooney, Teddy Sheringham. And then I don't know how many Kane's missed. Let me just check. Hold on. Kane's missed four.
Yeah. Okay, it's still not changing it for me. I love the way that Shearer took a penalty. There was no messing around. There was no of this like going up to it and stopping and all this other shite that you do.
Yeah,
there was no panekas, nothing like that. It was just pure. He's taking the goalkeeper through the back of the net. For me, Alan Shearer takes it. Not only that, just come off a World Cup where Harry Kane missed one to beat France to go to the World Cup semi. I'm not holding that against him. It happens. But Shearer was a good... Harry Kane is a fantastic penalty taker. But if I'm picking who's taking my penalties, I'm going for Alan Shearer every single time.
I think you're right. I think I'll agree with you. I know the stats, I like the stats. Shearer missed an 11. I don't think there was many... I can think of any of Shearer's ones that can stand out to me. Rooney missed one in the FA Cup against Arsenal, which stood out, so on that one. And then you've got Kane missing... arguably the most important penalty of his career. And he's only missed four of them, and one of them was a massive game changer.
And not only that, it's still rising.
Yeah, exactly.
He absolutely ballooned it, didn't he?
Yeah, I think there's some. It's on some astronaut somewhere has picked it up in space. So yeah. I think we're both good on Alan Shearer on that one. Magic moments. If you're looking for someone to produce a magic moment, I mean, we've already talked about this briefly. I think we could both potentially agree there was Gazza and then there was Rooney. And in terms of magic moments,
yeah,
those are the orders. And I think out of these three, I think Alan Shearer, as we said, had moments, of course, his England games where you remember his celebration and he stands out for some of the goals he scored, but not magic moments. So for me, I've gone Rooney on the magic moments. What about yourself?
Again, that goes down to also like natural talent. Of course, he's going to have the moments because he's the talented player out of the three, in my opinion. He only got to go to Euro 2004. He was unplayable. He doesn't get in. He did do his metatarsal in that tournament, I believe. Right. But him against Croatia, we beat Croatia in the group games. That was when he was at his peak for me. He was unplayable, a joy to watch, and he's had many moments like that. He's fantastic. Again, I go on about his overhead kick goal, which you see on Sky most weeks in adverts, etc. I think magic moments go down. I mean, he scored a hat trick, didn't he, in the Champions League when it was the Champions League debut, when it against Fenerbahce.
Yeah, scored a hat trick, smashed it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Harry Kane and Shearer didn't score hat tricks, they did, but Rooney, just about that he was a naturally talented player means that he had made more magical moments for me. I mean, other than Harry Kane scoring goals for Tottenham, which he did in abundance, they don't have many magic moments anyway, do they? So,
A few more points to bring it on. Obviously, people know, you know, we generally was a 90s podcast. We're now developing more of like a retro podcast, I would say. And I think I've not come in this with bias because even coming into it, I was in the different things of who would I choose. And I know I saw a lot of great moments with Rooney, so it does cloud it slightly. And I think if you go on to do another one with strikers, the Premier League era, I think it becomes even more difficult in terms of your Henri's, Aguero's, your Haaland's in years to come, et cetera, et cetera. England record then. Let's have a look at the England record. So it's interesting when you look at... I'm going to look at Kane's first. I think Shearer had the best England record personally. Harry Kane, I mean, he scored 32 of his 54 goals are against some real dog-awful shite, like San Marino, Albania, Panama, Kosovo, Lithuania, Malta, Andorra, Nigeria, Senegal, Slovenia. Who else there? I'm trying to think. That Albania. And then you had 18 penalties to that number as well. So he's only scored 4 goals against decent teams. If you're going to look at it like that, I know you can only score against who's put in front of you. I get that you know, you're there to do a job and he's done that job successfully. But I mean, and Rooney's, I think, his record again, I think he had quite an iffy record when you look at some of the teams he played, because international friendlies now have played so... There's so many teams you can play and it's so consistent. Whereas I think Shearer, when you look at the moments he played and the teams he scored against, you know, I think Shearer's record... And I also think, which is going to sound bizarre, because obviously England have got to two, you know, major a final and a semi-final. And you're thinking, well, yeah, I don't really remember Kane having many good games for England under that in those tournaments. Whereas the tournaments are when Shearer played and when Rooney played, they had individual brilliance that kind of you remember them for in those games. So for the England part of it, I'm going to go ahead and put Shearer as my number one. If I was picking the forward for England first, it would be Shearer. What about yourself?
It's a tough one, this, because Shearer's always been accused of not being great for England. You know, so it's a different. I mean, I'm not an advocate for that, to be honest with you. I thought Shearer was good for England, especially in Euro '96. He had a good tournament. He scored in the opening game, didn't he? In the 1-1 game with Switzerland. See these qualifiers, these England World Cup qualifiers and stuff, they're just fluffed up things so that people can gain stats. But again, you rattled off there. Rooney was the same as well. Up there beating the records, and then Kane comes and does it straight away. And it's because of the teams that we're putting up against. You have a qualifier with five or six teams in it, and only two of them can qualify, because it's either like an England or a Holland in the same group, or an England and an Italy or whatever else. Then you've got Luxembourg, Lithuania, San Marino, and Bosnia and Herzegovina. And England have to put out a full side of it because they have to make sure they qualify. But in that means that there's opportunities there to rack up numbers. And it's, for me, it's like a fluffed up record. I've got a little bit of an issue. It's changing slightly now because they're doing away with this because they're having that. They're doing a sort of way with the friendlies now, aren't they? Where they do the Nations League, where they try and make it a little bit more competitive, which is fine, to try and drum up more interest, because friendlies meant absolutely nothing. So the records that stand now may stand for some time, because, but then again, the World Cup qualifiers have not changed, so they may not. I can see where you're going for Bashir there.
Let me give you some of the teams he scored against. Okay, so he scored against France. He scored again two goals against Portugal. He scored against Argentina in a World Cup. They scored against Germany in the Euro qualifier, I think it was, a goal there. He scored against, I'm trying to think of some of the other teams he scored against. Switzerland, Scotland, the Netherlands, two goals against them. Another game against Germany in Euro 96, scored a goal. Poland, USA, Greece, Turkey, just the calibre of names I'm saying. I know I've run a few ones like Turkey and whatnot, but Turkey in that period in the 90s were a good Turkey team. For me, there's a lot more history in the names that I'm saying when you look at Rooney or Kane's record. So on that basis, that I'm looking at, okay, maybe they didn't get as far, but I think you've got fonder memories of Shearer in an England shirt. I mean, to be fair, he played 63 games and won 28, which doesn't sound great when you look at it on stats. But they drew 22 of those, lost 12, scored 30 goals. I don't think it's a bad record, really. But so let's nail it down. Who are you going with as the England person? Who would you go for?
I'm going with Shearer. I think it's fluffed up. You've only got to look at the 2018 World Cup, or whatever it was, 2016 World Cup. Kane scored four in the opening game against Panama, or five, didn't he? No, not for me. And like I say, without knowing completely, Rooney didn't do that, obviously, but he played against them same teams. I don't remember Shearer racking up the numbers against teams like that. So, yeah, I agree. Shearer for England for me.
Okay, I've got three more, and then we'll move on to the last thing, and then we'll move on. Pure strike of the ball. Who's had the most pure strike of the ball for you?
As soon as you asked me that question, I thought Shearer, but also Rooney can half whack one as well. Pure strike, because as soon as you said that to me, Shearer comes to my mind straight away, because all I can see is him rifling it top corner. That man could whack a ball. But again, Rooney hit some fucking screamers as well from outside the box. I think they striked it slightly differently for me. Shearer striking just seemed to be like a fucking rocket. If you was a goalkeeper, you'd want to move out of the way. You wouldn't want to be on the end of that. With Rooney, his was more float, more of a floating type of shot. It didn't seem like he rifled it like Shearer, but he had the same effect. He could bury it or curl it in a top corner, not a bother. When Shearer was doing it, it was pure force and pure power. I don't think Harry Kane comes into this equation. This is between.
I agree.
Shearer and Rooney.
I agree again. Kane's not faring very well this at all. When you think of pure strikes, I think of two goals. Newcastle, when he has a guy at the referee, the ball comes over and he fucking smashes it top corner against Newcastle. Then the Arsenal game against Everton, when he bursts onto
his Premier League debut.
Yeah. I mean, fucking hell. This is a tough one. Very, very tough. And you're right, Shearer was the first name that came into my head. But
yeah,
I think Rooney, this is tough. This is why I wanted to have a third.
Do you remember the goal? Sorry, mate. Do you remember the goal It must have been a back pass or something in the box, and it was laid off to Shearer. He could only have been on the 6-yard box. And he absolutely rifles it top corner. There must have been 10 people on the line. And he still managed to rifle it top corner.
Broke the net.
As soon as you've asked me that, that's the goal that came to mind.
See, this is tough, this one. This is tough. This one, I want a third person on this episode, because to break the deadlock when things like this, because I'm going to go Rooney on that one. I just think I don't know. I'm going to stick Rooney, because I don't think Kane comes in the equation again. Two more questions. Who would you want to play? Who would... Not you personally, but in terms of if you're getting a team sheet together of Gerrard, Lampard, whoever it would be in the Premier League era, Gazza, whatever, who would they rather play with having their team? Who would they rather go? That's me. I mean, look at PFA Player of the Years and things like that. Who would get the picked? Kane, Shearer, or Rooney?
Who these players like to prefer to play
who
with?
Who do you think would rather? Who would you, and you as well, as from a personal preference, if you're in that team or whatever, who would you want to look up and see is either captain, because all three have captained their club and country. Who would you look it up for inspiration? If you were thinking, right, that's the striker. This is the guy I want to play with. He's work rate. He knows to score your goal. He's good to be around in the lads. Who are you going with as an all-rounder?
I'm going to go for Wayne Rooney, but there's just purely for his natural talent. You can watch him in front of you. He could do something magic. He'd be a joy to watch. So he'd be a joy to play with for me. If I was a defender, if I'm looking at the pitch and seeing him on the ball, fantastic. For the other two as well, for Shearer and Kane. Listen, you'd want to play with any of them. They're match winners. Crossing the ball into the box, they're getting on the end of that. Again, Kane's running deep, coming deep and getting the ball and making things happen. So all three would be fantastic. But just for as a fan's point of view, and that's how we have to look at it, it would be Wayne Rooney as the player I'd like to play with the most. He's something, he could do something in a game where you just look and you think, fair play, you clap that, you think that's fucking magic. There's not many people in the world that can do these type of things. And he was one of them. For me, it'd be Wayne Rooney, mate.
I agree. I think it's a harder one, that one, because I do think Shearer is well liked. I think that's more era defiant, maybe. I think you look at players in the 90s, I think maybe you want Shearer because he's just Mr. Sensible, but quite boring, but he does what he does on the pitch. Kane doesn't seem to have a lot of personality. He seems to have shown a bit when you watch the documentary on the Spurs, he didn't have much of a personality come out of it. Whereas Rooney, was a bit of a lad, but could also back himself up on the pitch. So I'm going to go Rooney as well.
There's other factors in it though, mate. Imagine you're in a team and, for longevity, you're looking, you're thinking, right, I've got this team. I'm in this team now. We've got Rooney. We've got Shearer. And then you think, shit, in 3 years' time. Because Rooney could have gone on a lot longer. Like you say, he fell away very, I felt quite quickly. You stated it early on in the pod. So, if I'm looking, I'm thinking, I want to stay with this team and play in this team for the next 10 years. And I want one of them three. I wouldn't pick Rooney because I'd be thinking, I'm not going to get the 10 years out of him. And then also you got to factor into the fact that Shearer was injured a fair amount as well. So if I'm looking at that and thinking, right, who am I wanting for longevity in a side that score goals? It's going to be a match winner for me. Out of them three, if I'm flipping the question you've done there, I'm picking Harry Kane. I know he's had injuries, but he's not had the injuries that Shearer had. Shearer struggled with injuries we haven't mentioned on this pod. And Wayne Rooney, I feel, fell away quite. I know he started very young in his career, but for me, he fell away very young. He's only 37 now, and he looks an old man.
You say about fell away, bear in mind, if you look at longevity from 16 to 28, right? Let's look at that. Let's say he peaked at 24, 25, and the downhill started at 28. That's still 12 years at the top. Kane didn't come on until 22, maybe. Shearer was around 18 at Southampton, and they had the longevity on average. So that is a hard, and you are right, he fell off quite quickly. But I think there was always a risk with Rooney, and I think people said it at a young age, that he burst on at 16 because he had the body of a 19, 20, 22-year-old at 16 that was always going to catch up with him somewhere down the line. And with the lifestyle, as you mentioned, if he took the Ronaldo elements of, you know, looked at Ronaldo and goes, right, he's working hard, he's not, he's eating the right food, he's drinking the right food, he's doing everything right. If Rooney did that, I think he could have prolonged his career. But realistically, he was never going to do that. That's not the Wayne Rooney. That is not, he was hard and fast. He lived life from the edge and he came and went quite quickly in terms of it was his way or no way. He was very determined and he was a street footballer. And that's the difference, I think, on that. So I'll tell you the scores at the moment. Are you sticking with Rooney on that one then, buddy? Or you changing to Kane?
No. You said who would you like to play with at the pick? If I'm looking at someone in front of me for pure magic and just in awe, okay. Out of the three of them, I'm going Rooney.
So ratings at the moment, Rooney is in top with 8. Shearer is second with 7. And Harry Kane is bottom with 1. Last question. Now, this could flip it up into any way now between the two of them. Kane's obviously shoehorned out. Adapt to any era. Which for one of those three players would you say could adapt in to any era and you can dump him in and he would fit in?
Oh, so do you know what I'm going to do? I don't think Shearer adapts to this era. I feel that football's played differently. Shearer needed service for me. You know, I know he could create a goal out of nothing if it was in the box, but Shearer played in an era where he needed wingers to give him supply for his goals, which is fine. That's the way football was played. You played with a 4-4-2, you bombed up the wing, and you got crosses in. Sometimes you threw them at the back post, sometimes you fizzed them in at the front post, and Shearer thrived on that. The football's not played that way now. Yes, they still cross in the box every now and then, but it's frequent. It's not the be all and end all. They find different ways to play. So I'm going to rule Shearer out of this one. And you know what? I think Rooney could. Rooney could, the way that it's played now, not a problem. Because he was that talented that he could adapt to all formations and the way it's played. Football's not played completely different to the way that he was playing it. But I'm going to go Harry Kane in this one. I think Harry Kane scores goals in the 90s when Shearer was playing. And obviously he's doing it now. So for me, I'm going to give Harry Kane that one.
Wow, okay, fair enough. I didn't see that one coming out. I thought this one was going to be a straight fight between Rooney and Shearer. Shearer, I don't know. I think Shearer could adapt to the football now. I think he'd be perfect for you. Put Shearer in a Man City team, he ain't scoring. You tell me he's not scoring 30 goals a season.
There's many strikers that you can get say that. I'm not saying Shearer couldn't score goals. I just feel the football's played differently to the way Shearer. He wasn't known for pace, was he? I know he was a strong lad. He's not someone that would very rarely run on. And especially the way that the players are quick now. Kyle Walker's catching Shearer, I'm afraid. I know he catch most players anyway because he's fast as. But I think that a lot of Shearer's goals were made by the wingers that were in the side at that time. Shearer didn't create a lot of goals himself. Haaland now is like a bulldozer, so he runs in. Yes. I think that there would be goals for Shearer. I just don't think he would score as many. Now, I'm not saying he wouldn't, you know, some seasons where he scored 30. I'm not saying he would get, for me, he'd get 20, 25 in a Man City side. But I think most strikers do. I'm not saying he couldn't play in this era. I just think out of the three of them, the way it's played, the way the balls are whipped into the box, because basically you've got, there's three strikers now. It wasn't three strikers when he was there. So it's like a false winger sort of situation. So they're chipping in with goals, which means that Shearer wouldn't be. I think he scores goals. I just don't think that he scores as many as he did in the 90s.
That's fair enough. I think it's a bit of a difficult one, this one, because Rooney is recently retired. So he fits into this era still, I think. obviously playing in the era similar to Shearer. Then I go back and look at, well, could Rooney play in the 60s and 70s and 80s? I think he could have done. I think he would have loved that. I think Rooney would have thrived in the 70s of getting absolutely lumps kicked out of him. You know, I don't know if I can say that. And I think Shearer had that in him as well. I don't know if Kane did. I don't think you could put Kane in the 70s or the 80s and he's as an effective a player. He's too not nice, but I don't know, just not. He's not rugged almost. He hasn't got that pit bull about him, I don't find. Kane obviously now is playing, so we get that. So it is a bit of a difficult question. I think if you're looking at any era and you want to drop someone in any era, and I know David Graham, you know, a previous member of the podcast, isn't a fan of this kind of dropping era things because you're in that era and could you adapt to it? I think Rooney could. I think Rooney could really adapt in any playing era. I think Rooney now, you pick Rooney at 16, well, let's say 18 to 24 in any top four team now, he improves them. I think you put him in any top four team in the 80s, he improves them. I think that's the difference. I don't think you put Kane in any top four team in the 80s and necessarily improves them the same. But then arguably, you could argue what you said about Shearer. If Kane had that supply coming and wingers running down the wing and knocking balls into him, how many goals could he have got? The final score then goes into Rooney has 9, Kane has 2, and Shearer has 7. So I think that's a fair assumption that Wayne Rooney has topped the list of the best England / Premier League striker, British, English, whatever you want to call it, of the modern era. It's Master Quiz. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Master Quiz. I'm joined again by Mr. David Holland, through to the next round. Special subject this week is going to be Arsenal Football Club. Dave, are you ready?
Yeah.
I'll give you multiple choice questions. Answer in 30 seconds, as many as you can, as quick as you can. Here we go. Question 1. Who were Arsenal sponsored by in the 2000-2001 season? Dreamcast, PlayStation 2, PlayStation, or Nintendo 64?
Dreamcast.
Correct. Where did they play their home games in 2000-2001? Old Trafford, Highbury, Stamford Bridge or Anfield?
Highbury.
Correct. Question 3. What was the capacity of Arsenal's home ground in the 2000-2001 season?
38,000.
Incorrect. It was 38,500. Next question.
You fucking taking a piss.
I can only give you what's there. Question 4.
You did give me a bloody option, so I should have got the point.
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, I'll do that one again.
No, keep it in.
Okay. Sorry, I should give you an option. Which club did Thierry Henry leave to join Arsenal from? Inter, Juve, AC or Lazio?
Juve.
Correct. Next question. Question 7. When Arsenal won the league title in 97-98, it was their what championship number? Their 4th, 11th, 6th or 16th?
11th.
Correct. Next question 8. Here it is. Where was Patrick Vieira born? Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Senegal or Libya?
Senegal.
Correct. Next. Which famous French team did Arsene Wenger manage before Arsenal? PSG, Marseille, Monaco or Nantes?
Monaco.
Correct. Next question. Where does Arsenal's midfielder Laurent come from?
Cameroon.
Correct. What number was Frederick Lundberg in 2000-2001?
8.
Correct. Final question. Who was the Arsenal number 22 in 2000-2001? Nelson Vives, Ashley Cole, Matthew Upson or Oleg Lezhny?
Matthew Upson.
Incorrect. It was Oleg Lezhny. Thank you very much. Dave, I can tell you scored 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 out of 10. An impressive 8 out of 10. That's this week's Phoenix Minds. That's it, guys. That's the end of the episode. Well done, Dave, on the quiz. Good job. And I think that's wrapped up where we are, finishing nicely. Apart from that, Dave, good episode as usual. And hopefully we'll see you next week.
Yeah, take care, brother. It's been really good. Yeah, see you next week.
Straightforward. He has no experience of English football. He's come from Japan.
He's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
So I'm not one of the bottle. I think I'm a special one.
I have to talk about facts, because I think it's important.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.